Welcome to another weekly edition of Chatting with Charlie, hosted by Charlie Johnston, with his co-host, Dr. Joe Brickner, and presented by the Corps of Renewal and Charity. Visit us online at corac.co.
Good day, all you next bright steppers, and welcome to this edition of Chatting with Charlie. That's me. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Joe Brickner, and also, this is episode 2 in our preparedness series with Ed McCullough. Ed, welcome to the podcast.
And thank you.
Again, would you reiterate a little bit of your background?
U.S. Army Ranger for 21 years. Have been through a few natural or man-made disasters. One in particular, Chernobyl, that caused us, my wife and I, to learn how to be prepared. And a few other ones. One I probably didn't talk too much about before is, this was before I was married to Marty. I was downwind in the downwind hazard of Mount St. Helens when it blew up. Mm. And I was in Yakima Firing Center teaching anti-tank gunners how to kill tanks. And it was kind of like midnight in the middle of the day. And it was pretty scary because we weren't really sure what was going on. But yeah, I've been through several natural and man-made disasters, so to speak, and started preparing right after Chernobyl, 1986. I'm not going to say an expert, but I've been doing it a long time. And every time something happens and we have to use our preparedness stuff, we learn something new. So we're constantly changing.
Very good. Now, last time we talked about the different types of threats that we might face. Perhaps you want to do a brief reiteration of that. Today, we're really going to talk about how to prepare, how to respond to those threats. What are the important things you have to keep in mind?
Sure. So what you should see on the screen now is the threat probability matrix. It's something that you should go through for where you live and create your own. And you're more than welcome to copy this one. This is on the CORAC site. This whole presentation in PowerPoint is on the CORAC site. And take that matrix and decide for your particular area, what are the threats and what are the probabilities. So it's a good place to start to help you understand what it is you need to get prepared for. For instance, if you're in the middle of the country in Montana, where I'm at, the chance of a earthquake are pretty small, and the threat, the risk is the probability is pretty small. The risk could be high depending on things. Another good example would be snowstorms, blizzards. It's pretty high probability in Montana, but it's a low risk because we're ready for it. As compared to, say, for instance, Seattle, Washington, it's low probability but high risk. So everybody should go through this matrix that I'm showing. This is one that a friend of mine did for his own house in Billings, Montana. pretty much do it for your house and for where you live. Gives you an idea of all the things that you may need to be prepared for. And that's kind of where to start to look at what are the threats.
And certainly with CORAC, one size does not fit all. Miami is in no danger of a blizzard, just as Montana, Billings, is not in no danger of a hurricane. So you have to prepare for the sort of threats that hit your area.
Yeah, and you know, Charlie, a couple of, was it last year or the year before, Texas didn't believe they were ever in the blizzard zone, but they were. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but yeah, there's probably some things that are not going to happen in parts of the country, but they should be something that you still kind of can look at. My boss lives in Dallas or Fort Worth, Texas, and couple years ago, they had the blizzard and they were pretty much out of everything. They lost electricity. They did not have a backup way to have heat, et cetera, et cetera. So don't just completely disclose everything.
Right. Well, I know when they had the blizzard in Texas, a fella who coordinates a lot of things for me in San Antonio sent me a very rare picture of a San Antonio snowman.
Yeah. Just don't say never.
Okay.
The one thing I'm sure of, I'm not going to get a tsunami in Montana.
Well, I will never say never again.
Okay.
Now, Ed, this chart that you have in front of us, this is something that you do more than once. You'd want to keep this updated.
It's a rolling thing, and you should look at it as a family more than once a year. Mm-hmm. Just my suggestion.
Well, a good example of that is before we started the podcast today, we were talking offline and talking about terrorism. On here, it's listed as low, but because of all the things that have happened at our southern border, that may not be a low anymore. It may be a medium and moving into the high range in some locations. So
I agree. And one of the things I want to mention is since the last podcast, the sheriff's organization has met with the FBI, and the FBI is telling the sheriff's organizations that there are terrorist cells out there in the United States. And Charlie, what I'll do is I'll send that link to that okay. Sheriff who talks about it.
Yes, we've got more hard evidence than we did before. But, you know, as I've said, I completely expect October 7th style terror attacks.
In
Europe this year.
Whatever happens is going to be what we call asymmetrical.
Yep.
I don't know if we talked about it or not last time, but asymmetrical in a military from an army point of view is a symmetrical battle is on the battlefield. It's guys like me who, are trained and expect to be there and fight the enemy, et cetera, et cetera. The not symmetrical battle means that war is going to spill out into the United States just to make our military. The bottom line is that they want to make our military even less effective by knocking out things in the United States. For instance, our electrical power system is at risk in an asymmetrical war. That's just an example.
Well, let's go through some of the threats and the sort of responses. Ed, you take it away.
So how to prepare for all of this, and it looks like a lot, and there are some there's some pretty good resources out there. That's what this slide is. Washington State has some of the best I've ever seen, and that's because they have so many different types of threats that they need to address. And those links for all those, they're all free, are on there. They're the best I've ever seen. There may be others in other states. Each state has their own list of things that you can use to help figure out what the threats are and how to prepare. Federal government has things. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. There's a bunch of other sources. This particular one that you're seeing here is a disaster information service. You can get it on your computer and you can watch what's happening across the world. It is late. It's not immediate. Get your own books going. You know, this is a bunch of different ones that I show here. These are probably some of the best. Again, this is all on the CORAC site. What is the most important thing you need to have in order to survive some sort of disaster or, say, terrorist attack or something like that? And it's your state of mind. And for me, my Catholic religion and my belief in God and those things help my state of mind to be in the right place. When something bad happens, if you know God's with you, and this is actually the most important thing, is your religion and your ties to God and your ability to pray and know that you're in the right place at the right time. He didn't put you there to surprise you. He put you there because he wants you there. This is a couple of pictures. I take kids survival camping. My seven kids didn't have a choice from the time they were 7 years old to when they left my house. They were required to go survival camping with me a couple of times a year, depending on weather and what they learned is it doesn't really matter what you have and don't have. If your state of mind is right, you will be able to survive. So my kids, and I'll take anybody really. I still do it. You get the clothes you're wearing, a jacket,